Ben's talked about finding rhythm on offense. It doesn't seem to be a rhythm, and I think that speaks to a little bit of what you're talking about. Is there anything you can do as a coach to get that, or does it have to happen naturally?
Well, I think there are certain instances where, by virtue of a personnel grouping or in terms of just trying to have a set scheme or concept that you want to try to run, that you want to try to feature, that you just have to be patient with, there's ways to try to kickstart that, if you will. But if there's a turnover, or you all of a sudden you're trying to stay on track and now a penalty or something sets you back, it's hard to overcome. So there are certainly things from a schematic standpoint that you try to do, but in order to get the guys the touches that they need to get in terms of having the defense having to defend the entire field and have to face different obstacles and issues, you know, unless we're able to stay out there, it's going to be hard to get anything done.
Mike, the bottom parts on me would go on Sunday. Is DJ Cooper not going to tackle?
I think all the guys that we have on the roster are open for discussion in terms of those guys out there working throughout the various positions. We're just trying to find the very best mix that's going to help us be successful. So it's all options on the table.
Right, the offensive struggles have been so prolonged. Is it possible that other coordinators have just figured you guys out?
You know, that's one way I think that could be looked at it from the outside looking in. I think it goes a lot deeper than that. I think when we've certainly looked at the tape and haven't necessarily had a sense of, oh, man, they certainly had our playbook right here, or geez, what, holy cow, they must have, you know, been able to hear what we said on the headsets. You know, I think you give credit to the opponent. I mean, we're not making excuses. It's easy to sit up here and talk about, obviously, the mistakes that we've made and things that we have to overcome and not give the opponents credit, because they did do a good job. I want to make sure I'm clear about that. But from the standpoint of being predictable, I don't know how predictable we've been, and we haven't been out there long enough to be predictable. I hope we can be predictable to where we're able to have, that means we're sustaining some drives and we're doing some things to put the ball in the end zone. But I don't know if that's quite on point right now.
Mike, I know that you know that there's a lot of wonder as to what you're calling plays or Ben is going to call plays, which I don't expect you to address. But how much of a difference can a play caller actually make? What I mean by that is I know a lot of this is not scripted, but you plan for a lot of these situations. Does play call really make that much of a dramatic difference on game day?
Well, I think regardless of the team, regardless of the offense that's run, regardless of any of those variables, it still comes down to players making plays. And it's about the players, and it's about them being able to go out there and perform. And then obviously, no kidding, coach, it's our job to put them in the right spots and try to feature what their strengths are and try to minimize or mask or reduce what the weaknesses are. And I think that, you know, you brought up the point, you know, as far as how that's going to unfold. I think the most important thing for us right now is making sure that we start playing better football, more consistent football. And that seems like, I know, an oversimplification, but a lot of that just comes down to us having more opportunities. And that goes back to what, you know, answering Kim's question as far as the three and outs and the turnovers and those negative plays that keep us from getting into some type of a rhythm. That's, I think, what we're going to have to do regardless of the play calling situation.
Do you think as an offense you guys have to get the ball out quicker, maybe run three-step as opposed to five-step, or does the line just need to protect better and you guys don't want to change that much? You know?
I think the more versatile that we can be, the better. And let me be specific. What I mean by that is that it can't be any one thing. It goes back to what you were asking as far as predictability. If we're always five-step drop, if we're always three-step drop, if we're always in a mode where we have tight ends and backs to both sides chipping and helping tackles, you know, if we're always just forcing the run even when we're getting stuffed, or if we're always just trying to throw regardless, if, you know, too much of one thing is not good. And so we have to constantly try to find ways to keep the defense off balance, not be predictable, and try to at the same time know who our playmakers are and put them in positions to be successful. So I think that certainly we, looking at this opponent, you know, in terms of the strengths that they have and being so dynamic up front, you know, you've got to make sure you're aware of that. And I think for anybody, I don't think it would be shocking to say that, you know, we want to drop back 65 times against the Eagles down there. You know, that wouldn't be a earth-shattering statement.
I guess do you expect, or are you counting on the line to protect better, or will you scheme around that?
I think it's a combination of both. We're always looking to get better. There's always improvement. That's why we're out there practicing, and it never happens as fast as we'd like, and there's frustration, I'm sure, from all of our fans and from everyone on the outside looking in, and guess what? Our players are frustrated in themselves. We're frustrating ourselves as coaches, and I think when that comes to the forefront, you can either complain about it and point fingers and look for the blame, or circle the wagons and say, listen, we just got to keep, you know, the old Stonecutter's Creed. Just keep grinding away, keep trying to find a way to get better, and in conjunction with the individual technique, regardless of the position, then also from a schematic standpoint, trying to do the things that, as I mentioned earlier, that can play to our strengths and then try to minimize our weaknesses.
Mike, for a guy who said he didn't get any snaps at tackle in practice, how do you think Justin responded to the unscheduled move on Monday night to tackle the bottom of the
ground? Well, Justin has played a lot of football. He's played tackle in his NFL career, and he's a smart football player and a tough football player and a guy that, we're counting on, as we're counting on all of our offensive linemen and really the other guys at the other positions. What we plan for, what we expect, anything can happen in the course of a game, and guys have to be ready to step up. Obviously, it was a difficult night, it was a tough night, but for the most part, I thought he did a lot of good things out there.
Mike, with the frustration, and obviously the criticism, do you get the sense and do you see tangible evidence that the players still believe?
I do. That's a great question, because there hasn't been any type of, as I mentioned earlier, finger pointing or at each other or at us coaches. We spent a lot of time. Some of these players I've been with for 3 years. Some of these guys, a lot of time, those who are new to the organization, through the spring, through all of the OTAs and training camp, in the meetings, in the practice room, and you get a sense of what's in here, what their character's like. And there isn't a group of guys that are looking to quit or looking to point fingers or looking to make excuses. It's a prideful group. It's a competitive group. It's a group that is frustrated, but in a positive way, and that there's more of a determination and more of a resolve to get this thing headed in the right direction and play the type of football we know we're capable of, rather than look to make excuses and bicker and complain.
Is it fair to say that schematically your offense is not one that naturally gives a lot of help to the tackles, whether it's the chips? Is that more of an adjustment thing you guys have to do in game?
Well, I think schematically it is a part of what we do. Like anything else, if you pay on one, if you want to buy something on one area, you're gonna have to pay in the other area. And if you make a commitment, say for example this week, hey, we're gonna chip and have a tight end always to the left. Well, that number 55, Graham, is one of the best pass rushers in the National Football League, to the right. So it just gets back to, and I hate to sound like the broken record, but just having that balance and that versatility, just to try to keep that defense off balance a little bit.